It seems we live in an age of documentation. There are increasing levels of regulations around everything, and the supporting documentation around those regulations keeps getting more complex. Paperwork that used to be handled by one or two people now requires a department with a hierarchy of staff just to understand the regulations, let alone do all of the necessary documentation. This is becoming a serious challenge for HR departments in a world where company staffing can include not only full-time and part-time employees, but also contractors, freelancers, service providers, and many other terms of engagement that each require specialized contracts and payment management. And that's led to the development of innovative HR tech that promises to automate this burdensome but necessary process. I'm Jane Singer, and welcome back to A Seat at the Table. In each episode, we sit down with some of the smartest and most innovative people who join us as guests on this show and share a ton of valuable business and life-enhancing insights. A big shout out to all of our esteemed listeners around the world. Thank you for being here with us today. Today, we're joined by Timothy Partasevich, co-founder and CMO of Juggle, an HR tech company that specializes in helping companies manage global teams from contracts and payroll to benefits, document management, and onboarding. In this podcast, Timothy will be talking about how HR tech is helping companies maintain better relationships with their global team members, why digitizing the entire HR process is critical for saving time and avoiding costly mistakes, and how HR tech is scalable, putting it in reach of small and medium-sized businesses as well as enterprises. Another critical part of running a successful business is understanding what's happening in your international supply chain. The last thing anybody wants is to be blindsided by an issue they didn't see coming, or miss an opportunity to drive cost savings or reduce lead times. When global sourcing directors want a sharp view of their Asian supply chains, they turn to the current situation in sourcing. It's a six-page quarterly snapshot that highlights essential shifts, alerts, and opportunities, along with actual feedback about how other sourcing executives are reacting to the market. To learn more about the current situation in sourcing and to access the latest report, you'll find a link in the show notes for this episode. Now let's sit down with Timothy and get some of the HR documentation off of our desks. Tim, well, I'm really happy to have you with us here on A Seat at the Table. I think what you're working on with software to help automate the very complicated process of managing so many different staff, whether they be full-time, part-time, contractors across maybe multiple different geographic locations. This is such a big challenge for so many companies, particularly with a lot of regulations that they need to comply with and so on. So I'd love to really hear from you what you're working on.
Yeah, so like, yeah, thanks for having me again, by the way. It's been a pleasure like last time, and I hope it will be the same this time. Yeah, we're like, lots of things changed. Like for the past year, me and my team, we've been cooking up various projects. One of the projects that I've been working on heavily is called Juggle. We've developed an HRM system for payroll management and contract management, kind of helping people with remote teams, companies who are expanding in new locations to manage all the employees and manage all the various data that they get in regards to payments and financial aspects. So for example, like you can imagine, like the company has lots of different data points from which they can actually pull the data. And usually if you ask a person like in the CEO's seat or something like this, like, where's all your data in regards to payroll? They say, oh, we have a system. And then you start drilling them. Okay, like you keep salaries here. Where are the benefits coming from? Where are the contractors coming from? What about this location? What about that stuff? What about that? And then you soon realize that like they don't have a unified system for managing their payroll, even on local level, let alone global. And so, yeah, we've developed a system that allows you to consolidate everything in one place and manage all the employee information in terms of their payments, payroll, vacations, sick days, anything that's related with money and workforce.
Yeah, I think that's really, really important.
Yeah, it is. I think a lot of like you work a lot with like people in manufacturing sector, as far as I know. So, and manufacturing is one of those like interesting things because It's not very digitized. I mean, like, it is in certain like ways. Obviously, there's automation on the, like, on factory side, which is really, really impressive. But on the HR side, on the financial side, I don't see a lot of like innovations and drive for the change management in that particular realm. And I think that people within those like manufacturing sectors, apparel sectors, like working with a lot of maybe manufacturing plants across the world and having lots of different contracts, I think that's something that they might be interested in looking at, how to aggregate and utilize their data. And by the way, again, coming back to the idea, if you want, like, HR and payroll people are actually the easiest one to make a case for. Oh, that my cat is here. Like, I think the easiest to make the case for the proper change management and implementation. Why? Because you are the keepers of all the important data. You just need to use it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're looking at the system that you have, there are other systems on the market. What would you say is different about what you're doing? In other words, what might be a little bit unique?
What might be a little bit unique at this very moment, what we are trying to do is cover a bigger, I would say, as grounds on the entire HR like workforce cycle. So cover, usually what you have is either a very specialized system, like you would have like a very powerful, very robust software in one domain. Like, let's say it will be perhaps in like payroll, like you can go for services to big companies like ADP or Deloitte. Obviously, they can provide a very, very in-depth, and like if you're a bigger company, like giant enterprise, obviously you go to those guys because they can actually solve your issues. As a smaller company, you cannot go to them because like the paycheck is too big and they're not interested in working with a company that has like a couple of hundred people. It's like, it's not at their scale. But yeah, the software that kind of go into very, very in-depth and have like very robust specialization, or, and unfortunately, most companies who utilize those software, they don't utilize it to the fullest. It's kind of like the same problem you have with any HR system or CRM. If you ask like people how they use like HubSpot as a good example of just a CRM system, it's like it's very basic, but like in fact, it's a very robust system. It allows lots of like automations and things like that, but people never use it. Instead, people opt out to use 10% of HubSpot, then they use 10% of other software and other. So what we've tried to do is kind of encapsulate all the essential steps from recruitment to HR management, contract management, payroll, and I would say like obviously firing people and prolonging the contract, all that sort of stuff in one system. So from start to finish, cover everything, make sure that it's very customizable and adaptable to different businesses, rather than go really in depth into one functionality. So it's kind of like a system that is, I would say, ideal for mid-sized businesses that don't want a like really powerful, expensive tool. They have no need for it, but they need to cover as much ground with one solution as possible.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense because certainly there are a lot of what you might call small to medium-sized enterprises, right? SMEs who need automated solutions, right? And as you're saying, there's hasn't really been a lot. I mean, in a sense, technology has been a democratization, so to speak, right, of back-end systems. But in very specific areas, sometimes there hasn't been something that has been as purpose-built as what you're talking about. I think, people are
There are a
trying
couple
to.
attempts, and obviously, yeah, so sorry about that.
No, I just think that a lot of people are trying to create something like that, and they're sort of caught somewhere between trying to do it all themselves, right? Using, let's say, Excel, and not being necessarily big enough to use some of the enterprise-based systems.
Yes, the thing is like with Excel is like you Surprisingly, we'll find a lot of like Excel work even in bigger companies when it comes to payroll and everything. But the problem is it's not systemized. I recently hosted a webinar, and one of my points in terms of like where I try during the webinar explain like little tips and tricks and how you can like manage HR in outsourcing business. And like one of the issues that I found, and I didn't see like any adequate solution to that, is the payroll. As I said, like you have two options. You either invest in some sort of like system that lets you aggregate everything and manage and like do some automations in terms of calculating of taxes in different regions, paying on time, invoicing automation for your contractors, or you have what I call a voodoo priest in your team who can deal with 10 different Excels that are all linked together, that are all linked to different analytics, that are updated like on an hourly basis. And it's like you either have this voodoo priest person in your team or you don't. And they're very rare actually to find. And why I call it voodoo is like it's a little joke because I find it disturbing. I don't want to look at it, and nobody knows if it's real.
Right.
Because
Yeah, definitely. I
I
think
knew in my life only I knew only one person who can do such a thing, and that's it. And I've been talking to many, many different people across like the decade of my work, but only one person who could like kind of like attempt something to do at that scale of Excel proficiency, you might say. But still, like Excel is a very powerful tool, obviously, but you need to link it up still to another external system that will allow you to aggregate different Excels. You need some like calculations done on the back end, and like unfortunately, the Excel has its limitations.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I agree. I think that it's remarkable what you can do in Excel, and the advantages, people know how to use it, they're comfortable with it, right? So, there isn't that onboarding, that learning curve, so to speak. But at the same time, as you're pointing out, you probably
I
need.
wouldn't say so.
Really?
I would say there's a long and deep learning curve in Excel. Like people can tap Excel at a very basic level. Yeah, at a very basic level, it's quite like you can go up to something like lookup formulas, maybe linking two Excel spreadsheets together. That's something that you can do quite quickly. But when you're talking about remote businesses, global operations, and payroll, and various taxes and compliances, I don't think that it's easy to learn. That's kind of like I'd say like the Excel has a very interesting learning curve, whereas like in the beginning it's very easy, but then if you want to go to really advanced stuff, it's very complicated and very few people can do it.
Yes, absolutely. I think that, yeah, that's a very good point. So people will use Excel in a more simplified version, as you're saying. But on the other hand, you need to have, right, all that other things built in there for each jurisdiction based on a many, many different compliance points.
Yeah, definitely. And not only like compliance points, just think of the workflow in your own organization. Pretty much the payroll department and HR department is the, I would say, the biggest storage of data that you have in your company. I don't think that there is like any other department that has more data than payroll and HR. Because like think about it, like how much data comes in just from onboarding one person? Like in our own system, what like you there's a pretty lengthy form to actually onboard a person. So first of all, obviously, like there's a personal data, name, surname, then you go to the locations, basic stuff, maybe contact number, the email. So you're done with that. That's the first like piece of information that you need. A couple of fields, pretty standard. It's like filling out like any sort of form. Then you go into contract stuff. So the contract has a lot of things. First of all, like where's the jurisdiction of the contract? Who is signing the contract? We like if you have a couple of legal entities, which one of those legal entities will be signing and onboarding the person? Does the person work as a contractor or employee? If they're like contractor, obviously there's like their own tax number. Depending on jurisdiction, they are called differently. Obviously, every country has a different name for like the tax and social security number for their B2B businesses. Then there is like the invoicing, the scheduling. Are you paying them hourly? Are you paying them weekly, bi-weekly? It's like, and you start just expanding and expanding, and you understand how much data just goes into how many variables, speaking like technically, there in just one person as a line in your directory of employees. For you, like as a CEO, like you imagine, okay, here's the person, first name, last name, that's their salary. But it's not that simple. There's actually an incredible amount of data that goes into those calculations. And keeping this data, making sure that this data is accurate and you can aggregate it and pull it right when you need it, like that's where the difficulties come in.
Absolutely. So is the data that, if someone is working with your system with Juggle, is that data stored on their own internal computers, or is it on your computers, or is there some in between, let's say cloud base that's retaining all this data?
So we have a cloud-based solution. Obviously, different companies and different industries, different countries have different regulations. Like we have options where we can like set up like I would say a local system, obviously, for our clients. That's an option. We work with some people in healthcare. There's a whole lot of things going into healthcare, like in America. Like if people know what's HIPAA compliance, they would know what I'm talking about. And how difficult it is to manage the data, because like HIPAA compliance is not only for the patient's data, but it's also for any employee of the medical organization's data as well. HIPAA compliance actually covers them as well. So there's a security concerns, authorization, what kind of systems you're allowed to use, how you're allowed to use, where you're allowed to store this data, how the data should be secured, what kind of certificates, like business to business, it varies. Obviously, some countries are more lax than others. You can allow yourself to store everything on the cloud. Some countries and some businesses are a lot more restrictive. So we try to adapt. We still do like manual onboarding for our clients. So it's like no, like unfortunately, the more you try to develop like a silver bullet solution for everything, the more you realize there isn't one. Like it's just impossible. So we try to keep our business flexible. And if like the benefit, like I guess, of my company is that I not only manage this startup as a HR system, but I also have a software development company. So if my client needs, let's say, some sort of custom solution and custom integrations built in, like for example, again, talking about healthcare, our client, they use Bamboo HR as a primary storage because Bamboo HR is certified in USA to serve clients who are under HIPAA compliance requirement. So we build the custom integrations to make sure that the two systems work together and you can actually pull the data freely and in accordance to the law. But if, let's say, another country, another requirements, I'm perfectly willing to assist clients in setting everything up. But yeah, so no silver bullet. It never will happen. Too many variables in terms of government regulations.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that whether it be in HR or just about anything else nowadays, I think when I talk to people who are running businesses, one of the biggest challenges they face is compliance because it's just gotten so complicated and it keeps changing. And you just never know if you're doing the right thing or when something's going to be different. So whatever you've been doing now has to be done in a different way. So I think that, what you're pointing out is really important. When someone is working with your
Yeah,
system,
you do.
yeah, go ahead.
And in terms of compliance, like the worst thing, like and everyone who's been under audit or maybe like had fines from the government or had to do with tax authorities like IRS or any sort of like those agencies knows that like it's not like you made a mistake and immediately they notify you, yeah, you've made a mistake, please fix it, and like one fine. No, you learn about that you've made a mistake and you've been doing things wrong for about a year. And now you need to pay out a year worth of fines, obviously, because like they don't know that like you're not aware immediately that you're doing something wrong. By the time that you realize it, you realize that you've been doing it for quite a while and you need to pay for this quite a while. And there's a lot of like government fines and everything. Obviously, like you can kind of backtrack. Again, depends on the jurisdiction. If you come out like willingly, obviously, if you try to cover it up, like I wouldn't recommend it, especially in the US. I still remember there's like, there was a, I, old cartoon from the 90s, Batman, and there was a joke, like the joke said like he's crazy enough to go against Batman, but he's not crazy enough to go against IRS, and I completely understand him. It's like you don't want to find yourself like against IRS. So just there is a lot of things to be concerned with when it comes to compliance and regulations. How we try to do it is we create from technical perspective, we have a special entity within the system that is called, like we call it policy, is when we set up everything like the standardized policy for the country that is like the minimum requirements that you are allowed, like you need to do. So what's like kind of social security, what kind of tax payments, what sort of like work with contractors and employees that you need to do, what kind of documents, maybe insurance, mandatory insurance that you need to provide for standard employee. And it's kind of built in into your like entity system, so you cannot make any further mistakes. But obviously, like it's a lot more complicated than that. Another option, obviously, that many companies opt in is just to outsource everything. That's why, like, there's a lot of companies that are very popular who provide EOR, employee of record services, or contractor management. Like, we do contractor management, like, we do a little bit of EOR in certain countries, but mostly contractor management is very popular where you outsource everything, all the legal stuff. You don't, like, officially, you don't even hire those people. You just pay for the payroll services. It's one invoice for you instead of 50 if you have 50 contractors, which is really easy. And if anything happens, you're not actually legally liable. That's the good thing about outsourcing. You outsource everything, including legal compliance. And like we do that because like we have quite a robust, I would say, legal and financial departments. We know countries that we can work with. We know very well the laws and regulations. We are apt with it. And so for our clients, we are able to hire contractors in bulk and manage everything for them. And it's a win-win for everyone. For us, obviously, that's a client, that's a stream of revenue additional that we employ. For our clients, it's a safety net in terms of compliance, and it's something that saves time for their financial department because they're not responsible for paying out and ma actually managing the payroll on the contractors. Plus, one of the biggest thing, and like I recently learned this, that one in five people who had a late paycheck will go look for a new job. So any mistake pretty much that your payroll department does almost immediately means that at least like conservatively estimate like 10% of what like every 10th mistake that your payroll department does is just you losing an employee or contractor. That's like pretty like an assumption that you can make quite freely. And replacing somebody usually costs you from 6 to 9 months of this employee's salary. That's like typical estimate. So again, you can calculate in your head how much your late paycheck to your contractor costs you actually. That it's more than you think.
I think that's a really interesting point that people don't think about. I think that when you're working with employees, as it used to be, everybody wasn't an actual full-time employee. It was a very different equation. And now that people are really utilizing a lot of different, what you might call hybrid staffing solutions that include a mix of full-time people, part-time contractors, anything in between. Yes, there's a lot people don't, there's a lot of blind spots, you might say, as you're pointing out.
Yeah, again, because like you have so much data, and like if you don't have like any sort of like management system in place to make sure that the data is correct at all the time and you have time and accuracy, obviously you'll end up making mistakes. And at first you might think like, okay, I make a mistake. Let's say I didn't pay like $100. Like, let's say there was a mismatch and I didn't pay out a bonus that the person was entitled to this month. Okay, I'll just move it to the next month, or I'll make another payment. It's no big deal. That's what you might think, because for you, like, okay, $100, no big deal. But each time you do so, it's actually a big deal for the employees. And that's why we see so high levels of turnover rates in manufacturing, in software development, in outsourcing businesses, agency businesses experiencing an incredible level of turnout, primarily because employees and contractors who work for those companies understand that they have options, especially now with the after COVID, with the remote work. They have a lot of options, and they shouldn't tolerate any like mismatches in their salary, because let's be honest, they work because of money. That's like the primary reason why your employees work for you. Let's not go like somewhere like corporate culture. They like us. Maybe it's secondary. Money comes first for everyone, especially like for employees. Money is the first thing, and like the first thing that stresses out your employees and ensures that like they're not working well is like financial stress. Every study in the world shows that any sort of like financial uncertainty around the salary is the main concern for stress for people. If you affect it a little bit with the mistakes, you create more uncertainty, you create more stress, you affect their productivity in your company, and you affect the turnover rate. And every like little nooks and crannies, all the little things, like maybe you have a little bit of toxic culture that they don't like something, they didn't like something, but the pay was good and everything was all right, and they kind of ignored it. But now that the pay is not correct and there is a mistake, there's a delay on the paycheck, now everything start like boiling up. And it reaches critical point at some stage, and that's where we get like the turnover rates of 40%, like in the 40s.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I don't think people necessarily think about it because oftentimes the people who are running things are, there's a disconnect between them and when things are being executed in terms of payment to people. So they're not even aware, right? Sometimes
They're
things are being done
not
late.
aware. Yeah, especially like I call it a disconnect between economic classes sometimes. I don't want to go into whole labor theory or something like that, but for like a mundane, like you might imagine, like obviously most of the people in the world live paycheck to paycheck. That's just a reality. So for them, late paycheck is quite a big concern. Obviously, if you're a CEO or a CFO, you're not in the working class. Let's be honest. You're at least in the upper middle class, middle class. You're not worried. Like the bills don't concern you. I call it like middle class is when you stop concerning yourself with the bills and bills just pay themselves. That's it. Like that's like the ideal middle class definition, as far as I'm concerned. Middle class is when you don't care about the bills and grocery bill. That's it. Working class, you care about every penny. So for you think like, okay, there was a mistake and everything, and there's like li literally like human error disconnect. Like people on top don't realize that people living paycheck to paycheck, for them 2 days delay might be a very big thing. 1 week delay, that means like, imagine that you're delaying somebody's salary for 1 week because of your mistakes in payroll, or maybe some banking doesn't work as you might expect. There was some compliance issue, anything, and you would say, I'm really sorry, but there's a late paycheck, please bear with us. But if you're working class and you have a late paycheck, that's the end of the month. You actually need to pay for a rent, perhaps, or your car lease. So now you need to go to your friends and relatives and borrow money. Nobody likes that feeling, obviously. And that's the stress. And like you don't think about it in the business sense, but all of those things are real.
Yeah, that's a very good point that I don't think many people really think about. And again, it's something that's becoming more critical as we move towards these more fluid hiring practices. And you're right, you do have to manage that because once people are working with you without the security of a full-time job, they're definitely going to be more keen to be constantly looking for something new because they don't necessarily psychologically, right, feel secure. So, as you're pointing out, you don't want to add to that sense of insecurity by not paying on time.
Yeah, and listen, I understand payroll is hard. I mean, like it's a tough job to manage like a big company. Like you have a manufacturing plant, let's say you have hundreds and hundreds of people who are on contract, and you need to pay out everything. You need to ensure that the shift management is structured correctly. You need to make sure that you calculated all the overtime payments. Like I understand, there's a lot of things going into it, but that's why you actually need to invest in those systems. As I said, it's either you're a voodoo priest and you actually can manage everything on your own, and but then you know that you don't have a problem, or you need to invest in it. And it's actually a good, I think, segue into another point that I think is really missing within corporate structure, is that many different departments actually have no idea how to promote any sort of like change, meaningful change management within the company, because that's not their job, obviously. Like they're HR specialists, they're not salesmen, they're not salespeople, they're not marketing. And it's not like how to implement change management in your company. It's not an HR question, it's not an engineering question, it's a marketing question, because you need to sell it to the board. Let's be honest. That's the first thing. We have like a joke in our company. Usually when HR, our HRD comes to goes to the board of directors and ask us like something, very often like they hear rejected, because we say, okay, you need to do that, but it's like there's not enough data, there's not enough information, there's not enough that and that, like we need more time, we need to think, let us discuss. And obviously you know how it goes. Like you go to the C-level executives, you're trying to present something to the board, they say we'll consider it, which means no, let's be honest. And that's it. When I go to my colleagues and everything to present something, at the end of the meeting, everything just goes, yeah, sure, let's do it. Let's try it at least. Let's make a use case. But I guess that's because my job is marketing and sales professional, and I actually know how to sell the idea. That's what I want actually people, especially who are managing like the payroll departments, the HR departments. I think they need to actually learn how to sell the change management and implementation of those new systems and solutions, new processes within the organization, because it's not an easy job. You cannot just go to the board of directors and say, we need a new software, we have a problem. And they say, we'll consider it next quarter,
Right.
which means no
Yeah,
again.
exactly.
And you go, okay, I'll follow you up next quarter. And like a newbie salesman, you go back and like, okay, I put in my calendar 3 months from now that I'll follow the up of them. And by the time this comes, like the bunch of new problems, and they say, yeah, we're not gonna do it. And like another cool thing that C-level executives like to say is like, we have other priorities.
Right.
It's not a top priority for us now. And it never will be. Like you should stop like living in the dream world where your initiative will ever be a top priority in the company. It never will be.
Yes.
Like you need to make it a top priority. It will not magically become a top priority for the board of directors. You need to make it. You need to present a case for change management, and you need to sell it.
Yes, yeah, you're right. I mean, it never is a priority until something goes terribly wrong. And then it's suddenly it's
And then
urgent.
you know what? And then you know what happened? You're in the wrong and you are getting fired.
Oh, well, we don't want to see that happen. Well, Tim, you
Yeah.
shared so many interesting things here. Where can people find you? Where can they find your company?
Yes. So the payroll solution that we are doing called Juggle is JU. GGL.co, I think I spelled it right. They can find me on LinkedIn. Obviously, I'm pretty active over there. If you'd like to chat, or interested like in my experience, or want to talk about Juggle or change management, it's actually one of the initiatives that I'm gonna do. I'm gonna be hosting a couple of webinars, I think, focused on how to promote change management within your organization. That's something that I'm very passionate about, and I think I'll, like that's something that many heads of various departments just lack as a necessary skill. Not because like they're not professionals in their own realm, I'm pretty sure they are, but they just lack this like selling and marketing skill that needs to be presented, and how to push it to the board of directors, and how to promote your initiatives and make sure that your initiative suddenly becomes a top priority for the board of directors.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm going to put all of your links in the show notes, and I want to thank you again for taking the time to join us. I mean, I've really learned a lot, and it's been so interesting to talk with you about how all of this, the complications around HR and payroll are being automated. It's really important nowadays.